हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 27. Purva Paksha. The qualities of the ingredients that differentiate it from other things should be transferred from the ingredient to the substance it creates. The qualities that distinguish gold from thread are also seen to distinguish golden bracelets and other ornaments from cloth made of thread. We did the Uttara also?
Yes.
Huh. So in the Bhagavatam verse. Yeah. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.26. The demigods prayed, O Lord, you never deviate from your vow, which is always perfect because whatever you decide is perfectly correct and cannot be stopped by anyone. Being present in the three phases of cosmic manifestation, creation, maintenance, and annihilation, you are the supreme truth. Indeed, unless one is completely truthful, one cannot achieve your favor, which therefore cannot be achieved by hypocrites. You are the active principle, the real truth in all the ingredients of creation, and therefore you are known as Antaryami, the inner force. You are equal to everyone, and your instructions apply for everyone at all time. You are the beginning of all truth, therefore offering our obeisances, we surrender unto you. Kindly give us protection. Okay, so being Antaryami, he's the one that's inside everything that makes everything work. That's actually what creates the uniqueness of something, is what quality that it has that's different from another thing. Now, that means then, but it has to be, that matter has to have, or anything, anything created has to have some element of connection back to the Supreme, otherwise it wouldn't have that potency to function. Right? That potency is coming from the Lord. And so that potency coming from the Lord, that's where the common point is. But at the same time, as the variety is going to be different, because one thing comes from one thing, comes from another, it keeps expanding. Right? So you have, let's say, the gold ore. Then you have the gold ingots. Right? So then there's going to be the commonality of the gore. Gore, yeah, it means the color, right? Gold, yes. So the gold, but at the same time is there's a difference. Right? Then you're going to see the gold made into ornaments. Right? So then that's going to be different from the ingot. Then you're going to see that the ornaments, depending upon how you treat them, you can get so many different effects. Like gold, you know, generally you see the nice and shiny and that, but they also do one that's it's matte. You ever seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. And then when you combine the two, it makes a very interesting thing. So, but because what's happening is what you use to make it shiny, it'll have that similar quality. And what you use to make it not shiny, it'll have a quality like that. But those things all go back to Krishna. So you're getting the variety. So then Krishna expands as his internal potency. That transforms as the external. So the external has some similarity to the internal, and the internal has a similarity to Krishna. So you do see the effect all the way through, but they're taking it by the immediate. But that's natural. It just keeps adjusting as it goes. But it still has to have that original potency, otherwise it can't function. So here is that, therefore you know, is Antaryami, the inner force. Yes?
So all the objects here, they connected to Krishna through Brahman.
Yes.
But not necessarily to him as a person. Then we take Brahman as an expansion from the
yes.
original.
Yes. because Krishna has all these unlimited qualities that are perfectly applied in his personal relationship. So they have a very specific application.
Right.
But those qualities themselves, coming from Krishna or being inherent in Krishna, they can be used in an unlimited variety of ways. So in a pastime, he's using that quality in a specific way. But that doesn't mean that the quality can't be used in so many other ways. Right? But at the time, he's using it in that one way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so all those other unlimited varieties that could be used that aren't at that time, that's Brahman. Right? Because Brahman simply means the glory of those qualities, but in a generic form, so we say impersonal. Because for the Vedic, impersonal means it's not specific. Right? This illusory concept of impersonal means it's nothingness. It's Buddhism. Right? So because then if there's nothingness, then somehow or another that explains it. Just like, okay, you take unlimited matter and squeeze it into an infinitesimal, you can't even see it, point. As if that is at all possible. Means, can they give the formula for what it would take to do that? Right? How much pressure would be needed? Therefore, how much energy is required? How much energy that would be producing in heat? Because when you squish something, it starts to get hot. So what would be the means? It's totally untenable. But somehow or another, because it's nothingness, they accept it. Right? And then God, what do you mean? That's completely just making that up. You know, it's like, you know.
I mean, the easiest way to explain it would be magic, you know, just by magic.
Yes, but that's nothingness is magic. Because when things are really trouble, then when there's nothing happening, you go, this is magic. You know, so that's the problem. So as Antaryami, he's the inner force. So then as Paramatma, he's also pervading everything. Because everything has a purpose that is being done. But it's he who's enjoying it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you have the qualities that are there inherent. So you have the situational. Then you have the interactions of all those qualities and that to create effects, that will be Antaryami or Paramatma, right? And then the qualities and the effects that are there then being tasted by Krishna in a specific interaction with his devotees, that's Bhagavan. But as he does all these, because if it's only him, he has to do all these anyway. And if it's about him and he's doing these others, that's why these are all in the background. So they're not the prominent. Right? It'll be the interaction, the relationship that's the prominent. But him arranging everything as jnana and kriya is not actually the main thing, or as you know, Balaram and Vasudev. That's not the main thing. It's important. So it's an important part, but it's not the main focus. So therefore you can have all three of them together, but then you always still remember Krishna. Does that make sense? Because they're remembering Krishna. Vasudeva is doing it to please, you know, Balaram, who's doing it to please Krishna. But as Krishna expands like that, and then it works very nicely. Right? So the mood's different to do that. When he expands, and it's the same mood, you know, like in the Rasa Dancer and in Dwarka with the queens and all that, then it has that particular flavor, so it's hard to do those two. So when he takes on that other mood, it has that mood of service. So that's then the Paramatma aspect. So in Dwarka, they always they deal with him as Paramatma. Well, he's Bhagavan, but they're dealing with that kind of flavor. They see that aspect of. You know what I'm saying? But in Braj, they're dealing with Bhagavan as his Braj asset. And then anything is Paramatma or Brahman just reminds them of Braja Krishna. Well, for others, it reminds them the other way. So whichever is their thing, it just reminds them of that position. But when you deal with Bhagavan, then that makes everything fall into place. Then when you deal with Bhagavan and Braja Krishna, then it means everything falls into place. There's nothing that can't be adjusted and put perfectly in its place. Does that make sense? So it's like the full exposition of the tattva. Understand? Yeah.
Like, you see that this particular aspect of Krishna, it has usually been expressed in terms of Vasudev Krishna or Vasudev in Dwarka.
No, which aspect?
From the West, Vasudev Sankarsana, Chaturvyuha I'm speaking.
That I understand, but I'm saying you're saying this aspect is generally presented as Vasudev. Which aspect are you talking about?
The aspect of having the attributes.
Having the attributes. Having the attributes. So Krishna is not known as his wonderful threefold bending form and like
it's been
that.
Spoken in terms, always in terms of Vasudev and less of Krishna. That
but who's speaking those things of those
Vedas,
qualities?
The scriptures speaking.
The Vedas and the scriptures.
Yeah.
Okay. So but the Vedas and the scriptures come being the breathing of the Lord, then what are they doing?
They speak of the Lord.
They're speaking of the Lord, but they're establishing the situation in which the Lord is being worshipped. Okay? Let's say we have, Braj. Okay, we have Braj?
Yes.
Okay? So now, and then we have Krishna. Right? So now, by his yoga maya, who's bigger? Krishna's bigger.
Yoga is bigger. But
is the manifestation of the Dham bigger, or is Krishna's personal form bigger? Dham is bigger. Okay, now, in that Dham, then the mechanics of the whole pastime and the arrangements and how everything's unfolding, how big is that in volume?
It's very big.
Okay, very big. So then between the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis, you're talking about huge volume.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And then you have Krishna,
yes,
who is, you know, in his threefold bending form there. And so he's less of the volume. So didn't we have this discussion the other day that volume is not the top? Do you understand?
Yes.
That's why the Brahminical thing is the top, because it's about the actual substance of something, the actual nature, and following that and understanding that and appreciating it and making your life according to that. You understand? So that's why that's the highest. Then when you have that and you add in the practical, you have to be able to accomplish things with that knowledge. Right? And if you're not accomplishing, then it's a waste of time. Right? That's the Kshatriya nature. But in being practical and accomplishing, sometimes they get lost in that and forget about the original knowledge that the Brahmins are giving. Therefore, Kshatriyas have to always work with Brahmins so they don't forget. Right? Like that. Then when you drop into the Vaishya, then it's about numbers. But numbers meaning profit. Right? Then when you drop down to the Shudra, it's also numbers, but numbers meaning experience. So now, do we want to approach the philosophy and establish higher and lower based on volume?
Not at all. I mean, my only concern was like, why is the Vedas more, you know, on Paravasudev? They are focusing much and not on their education. That's it. I got it.
You got it. Okay. See, now, because we think we're the controller and enjoyer. So, if we're just told once that, you know, we're not the controller and enjoyer, God is, are we cool with that? I mean, so, like, now we've completely given up the whole idea to control and enjoy.
For a second.
No.
For a second.
For a second, yeah. And then the next second. Okay, so that's the problem, right? So does that have to be repeated many times?
Yes, madam.
Okay, so then that's the volume. Okay? Srimad Bhagavatam 3:21-19. My dear Lord, you alone create the universes. O personality of Godhead, desiring to create these universes, you create them. maintain them, and again wind them up by your own energies, which are under the control of your second energy, called Yoga Maya. Just as the spider creates a cobweb by its own energy and again winds it up.
Right.
Yes.
This specific verse.
Right.
In reference to this proves what? That Krishna, Brahman can be the source?
Yes, because he sees everything's coming from him, because that's their whole point, is it doesn't come from him.
Basic.
Yes. That's the whole point, is because they're looking at, well, Brahman being transcendental and special and all that, and the material world not being all those things. In other words, Satchitananda, the material world, is the opposite. Mm-hmm. So therefore, since it's opposite, it can't come from the Lord. But what they're forgetting is that the opposites that they're taking are specifically the ones that are opposites of his specific qualities.
Yeah.
Right? It's not opposites of something else. So that means it's lacking those aspects of him, but it still has to be coming from him. So then we can say it's a transformation, that you're going from light to darkness, eternality to temporariness, like that.
Yeah. Maharaj, so here they want to prove, first they try to prove that the material, the pradhan is the source.
Yes.
Then it didn't work.
Yes.
Now they can't accept that Brahman as a source, so they are bringing nothingness into the picture.
Yes.
And then first they want to prove that pradhan comes from nothingness, and then the next step is Brahman also has to come from nothingness. That's how they approach.
I'm not sure, but means the for the Mayavadis, then the Brahman is in the position of nothingness. So it's either you have unlimited of just, you know, unidentifiable, or you have nothingness. So it's basically the same, because how big is nothing? Right? Because if I can measure it, then it can't be nothing. Right? Does that make sense? So it's basically the same thing. It's just a matter of whether you're functioning from goodness or from ignorance. Does that make sense? So their attachment, they're trying to do and deal with the Shastra from that aspect of the goodness. But because that's not working, then they take to the mode of ignorance. Right? So that's how it degrades. You know, so it's like, yes.
So far I understand this Sankhyaites, they are just looking in some kind of external similarities in elements or like this.
Yes. They're thinking that the elements of matter is doing itself, but they're being very scientific to break it down into specific elements and what specifically each of the elements do. You know, like we have 24 elements. What speak one does and this and that, so you can analyze better to understand how you're entangled.
Okay.
Right? So that'll be different from the atomic theory that is just taking it down to atoms. So they don't need to distinguish what kind of atoms they are. The point is, it's whatever it is, it's just atoms.
Mm-hmm.
So why you're attributing so much value to it?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's your house. It's just a bunch of atoms of material energy. So why you're so attached? Because those atoms have come from the variety of material energy. They've been made into this, and they'll again go back and be just more atoms. So that's their path. So it's not as developed, right? That I'm being logical about trying to distinguish matter from spirit and this and that. Then that's Nyaya's doing. But it's just I can tell the difference. So then I just choose spirit and not matter. But now it doesn't have... So if I choose the spirit, but what's going to be inspiration to it? Choose the spirit, not the matter. Then Vaisheshika comes in.
Okay.
Because then it's all just atoms. So then what's the big deal? Why you're so attached, choose the spiritual, right? But then that's not so developed, so then you have the Shankhya, you know, then is going to break down those atoms into 24, and then so you can see the mechanics of how it's working, so then it makes it easier to choose the spirit.
So there's kind of...
We always have to stop here. Yeah, check out what's happening.
They are silently passing by the topic of working of energies.
Yes, no, but they basically all are. They're just taking it, Pradhan's doing that. So they have no control over it. So that's accepted that I may be the soul. I don't have control over material energy. But through intelligence, through analyzation and that, then I can go beyond that so I'm not controlled by it. But it just comes to a neutral state. It's not, there's no positive state in any of these. Right? You're just removing the pain of the material world for these ones. And for karma, you're removing the pain of the material world, not you're making a nice situation. The other ones, you're just getting rid of the situation altogether. Right? Does that make sense? So then with Shankya, you've analyzed, that makes it even more easy to give up the material and take the spiritual. But they're, all these first three, they're only using intelligence. There's no element of the mind here.
Yeah.
Right? It means working with it. They identify. But now with yoga, now you work out how to control the mind. So now I've gotten a very good system of intelligence how to analyze.
Mm.
Right? You're not going to get technically better than Shankya in that way, the analyzation. But still you have the mind to contend with. So then the next one up then is Patanjali. Is using, having all that analyzation that you get from Shankya, now they use the mind then to control that so that you can make that decision. Because even you make it, you still have to focus on it. Right? Does that make sense? And so, and that, so, but they're limited in their dealing with the scriptures. Does that make sense? Like that. They'll only deal with those verses, as you can see, that supports what they agree on. And what doesn't, they just say is not important or even bogus. Right? So, it means, yeah. At least these two schools. I haven't heard of Shankya and, I mean, of Nyaya and Vaisheshika have done that. But at least these two do. Right? Yeah. So, then Yeah, so then karma, then they, how you say, their thing is about enjoying the material energy. So now one could ask, well, how is this higher? Because the karma is always considered in a junior position to jnana, right? So you'd have some aspects would be is that, one, they'll deal with any verse of the Veda, and they accept all verses. So that puts them in a higher position. They're actually more, you know, established in the Veda than these other schools. So that gives them a superior position because they have more faith in Scripture. So their faith in Scripture is greater, right? Because that you can define also within the Vaishnava. How much faith you have in the Scripture, because everything being based on that, that puts you in a higher position. Right? Then the other, the other aspect is that since the position in the spiritual world is that of personal relationships and about engaging the senses in the service of the Lord, then you can say is from that aspect karma is closer because it accepts relationships and performing karma and engaging the senses. Though they're completely, you know, misguided on how to, that is about themselves instead of the Lord. So all the sacrifice, austerity, analyzation, everything that the others are doing, they're doing, but they accept this aspect. Right? So then you see, then again, then you go into Shankara. So his Vedanta then can defeat this because that stays within material, so you have the advantage of the jnana aspect, but you have the weakness that it's not personal. So then in Vaishnava Vedanta, then you have the engagement of the senses in a personal way and total detachment from the material world. So then you get the benefits of all the other philosophies. Right? So you can see as all the other six philosophies, they're actually derivatives of the Vaishnava philosophy, but they're materialists, so they don't want service to Krishna. So they accept up to a point of the position of the Lord. But only as much as it supports their philosophy. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yeah.
About regarding the conveniences and the Sankhyas, like, when you say about the conveniences, you know, they're basically convinced, they want enjoyment. Therefore, even though they have no faith in the scriptures, they're expecting fruitful results. That's one thing. Sankhya, if you see, then they go beyond, you know, the material world, they go up to Mahat or Pradhan.
Yes.
Therefore, being jnana, they should be actually higher in the...
They're high, it means they should be higher because of the position of Jnana.
Because of the position of Jnana, because anyway...
Okay, let us say I have someone who has... is an undergraduate in classical literature. Okay? And I have, let's say, a high school student who is focusing on math and science. Okay? Who's higher?
The fields are different, so we cannot actually compare, no? Because one is in math and science, one is in literature. Actually, postgraduate is the postgraduate is higher technically.
Don't play with the example. Don't play with the example. The whole point is someone who's doing an undergraduate is accepted in the academic world as in a higher position than someone who is still in secondary school. Yes or no? Yes. That's universal. Right? But the thing is what the one is studying in the secondary is generally by the academy accepted as a higher discipline. The discipline of science is higher than that of literature. Right? But they're overall they're accepted like that. You understand? So you can have this. It's not that, but this is that. Because the point is now when it comes to developing or having an attraction for devotional service and all that, will that be easier for a karmi or a jnani?
For a karmi.
For a karmi, yes, because they accept the personal aspect, relationship, engaging in activities, getting results, those being offered to others, because if I'm doing it in a selfless way, that's considered better karma. And they'll all accept that. Everybody will accept that. So the difference is it's someone else that I have an attachment to or not. So actually for the karmi, it's easier to understand Vedanta, actual Vaishnava Vedanta, than an impersonalist. So in that way, it's higher.
It's that it is defined what is higher.
Yes, but we're bhaktas, and that's how we're going to define it. And the actual measurement of everything is yoga maya, not mahamaya. You know what I'm saying? So the jnanis are respected because the area they use is the intelligence, and they're trying to give up the material world. So in that way, the actions they're putting are higher when it comes to where you're functioning in the material world. But when it comes to the bigger picture of devotion and non-devotion, then the devotion is the higher principle. You understand? Like that. So we have to be very careful about this, that jnana is higher, or the impersonal is higher than the personal, or volume is greater than quality. You understand? These are natural distractions. Does that make sense? So we have to try to get to that core and analyze that, rather than if we only analyze it on the secondary, then when it comes up in another form, in a different secondary, we think it's new and fresh. But what about, you know? But it's the same thing. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like here, we have this nice flower, okay? So we have it like this, right? Then what about if we do it like that? Ooh, you know, okay, we do it this way. Yeah, okay, now what about over here? Yeah, we turn it like that. Okay, we got this way. You know what I'm saying? So, but is it not a flower? Does it have the same? Does it matter for the flower? Will it smell any difference if I put it this way or this way? Right? Isn't that what Juliet talked about? Right? Right, what is it? A champa by any other position would smell just as sweet. Isn't that what she said?
Yes.
Yes, okay, so that's the whole point. Yeah? Yeah, so that's, we have to catch that, and that's what we're talking about, is taking it, analyzing it through to that principle. Then it will make everything go very, very smoothly. Otherwise, we'll keep getting caught by these secondary details. We have to start stepping back. That's what Prabhupada was talking about, is that the pure devotees, they see from a different vision. this Shastra Chakshus. So even though they're seeing what we're seeing, we're not seeing what they're seeing. Right? And they don't actually care to see what we're seeing. But the common point is we see some matter. That, with your eyes and senses, that what you're perceiving is both, but the value of it, what you can do with it, you know, as far as benefit, that's where the difference is. So that's what we have to be able to see according to it. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Also the aspect of Purva Mimamsas, they accept the Shakti.
Accept the Shakti. Okay.
So that
makes them also in a higher position. Okay. So they accept the Shakti while the others aren't. They just have the Dham. They don't understand beyond that. Okay, so Vishnu has Shakti.
They accept Shakti. They say Shakti is... Because the Shakti has to have somebody be besides her. That is Vishnu.
Okay, but it's about the Shakti. But she has... Okay, yeah.
She needs to have a husband.
Okay, okay.
Only so, qualified person is Lord Vishnu.
Okay, okay. So it's like, how you say? At the formal event, the girl comes and all this and that. She's got a guy with her in this black tuxedo, so you don't really see him, but you know someone's there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's about her. Okay. Okay. So they're kind of like Shaktas.
Yes.
But they accept Vishnu.
I bumped into an astrologer. My parents took. He gave a 2-hour class to me saying...
About karma mimamsa. Okay. Okay. Very good.
They go up till only 6 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Nothing beyond that.
Really? Oh, that's interesting.
How do they explain that you don't go beyond that?
Because then they have to accept the emotional service. So he doesn't quote any verse beyond 6 chapters.
Okay, don't let it. So Karma Nyeva Vikardaste is like your favorite verse.
You also know you read Bhagavad Gita, so these verses, and he quoted.
And then you quote the one later.
I didn't quote.
I did. Just let him talk.
And then he like speak another 2 hours already.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. 2 hours is better than 4. Right? Yeah. Okay, so Sutra 218. Apitao tadvat prasangat asamanjasam. Apitao, at the time of pralaya, tadvat, like that. Prasangat, on account of the consequences. Asamanjasam, inappropriate. Tadvat. So that would be the same, you know. Like you say, so you're going to do something like this, 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 like that. So then you could say, tadvat. Okay. At the time of destruction, Brahman would be like the world because of contact with the world that merged into Brahman. There would be contradiction to the pure Brahman declared in the scriptures. So Sutra Prakashika, the opponent again attacks with logic. So this is then their huh? This is the Purva Paksha. Right? Shigovindabhasya. So then explaining this. Purva Paksha. If Brahman, endowed with subtle Shaktis, is the material cause of the universe of matter and jiva, undergoing various changes unbeneficial to the soul, then at the time of pralaya, Brahman would also have the same faults, right? Because all that goes, merges back into him. They're not catching the with subtle Shaktis and the transformation. That's the point, is without the understanding of transformation, this point in the philosophy cannot be understood. Yeah.
This is our Purva Paksha or there?
Indirection is always there.
That doesn't make sense. That's what they say?
Yes, they're saying this. They're saying if Brahman endowed with soul Shaktis.
I didn't say
that. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So if it is, you know, because in other words, this verse that's being, the sutra itself is their complaint.
Okay. Sometimes they sound logical, though.
They're using logic. That's the whole point, is that they become bewildered by their own logic. So because... Because Yoga Maya, Mahamaya, she just bewilders them. Right? Because within, become being that greater aspect than all the other aspects of the, you know, knowledge, you know, Shaktis and all these different things are under her control on the material side. And so then they become bewildered by their own application of the logic. So Maya does it. She arranges.
Can you also say that even though they use the intelligence in their presentation, when it makes more sense to the mind sometimes what they say?
Yes, because it makes more sense to the materialistic mind. Yes, that's what we're used to that. So that's why when these things come up, we accept it so easily. That's the whole point. While the transcendental, that's beyond. That's why without the faith in the scriptures, one can't actually get to those points. So that means as you can go as far as you have faith. And if your faith goes up to, that's as far as you can get at that point. Now, by association of devotees or ending service, we may get purified and we can develop more of that faith and Krishna will reveal more.
And then, even though they do quote the Vedas, right, they don't actually have faith. That's why they cannot go.
No. Or they only have faith in as much as their philosophy. So they have this, they seem to have quite strong conviction in their philosophy. Otherwise, why argue up to this point? But they can't get beyond this. So as Krishna says, as they surrender, he reciprocates. So because they've surrendered to this philosophy, then Krishna, as he explains in Gita, like for the demigod worshippers, he gives them the faith to be able to go into that. So they have the memory, the faith, the understanding of the scriptures to support their philosophy, because that's what they want. Because otherwise it doesn't make sense. Why would they accept it? But because Krishna gives them the ability to accept it. Now, only if they come in contact with devotees and they see that there's something alternative, and then they appreciate that, then only they can go beyond. You know, like we see Vaishnav Dasa in the Chaitanya Dharma, is that he was very well situated as an impersonalist. You know, or Prabodhananda Saraswati. And so, then, but to come in contact with the devotees or with the Lord, then they start to see there's something beyond. You know, the four Kumaras, they're situated in Brahmand, and they smell the tulsi leaves at the lotus feet of the Lord. So they see So then they go beyond. So they understand that everything is Brahman, and of Brahman, then Vishnu is the supreme Brahman. So they don't have a problem with that. Because you can distinguish. Brahmavadis can actually distinguish. Mayavadis, they're the ones that are not so smart. Right? So they can distinguish that this aspect of Brahman is something greater than just the generic aspect of Brahman. And then they can, so that then awakens that idea to serve and be involved. Does that make sense? So then that brings them to that higher platform than bhakti and Krishna reveals. So this is all the more they want to do, so this is all that's revealed. So that's why we see if you're attached to the modern social position, then if someone says something that's, you know, seemingly logical, you know, arguing that position, then for us it will make sense. And we'll see that position as more important than devotional service. You know, we accept devotional service when it comes to chanting our rounds and, you know, offering prasad and, you know, a few things that we can see is that it's obviously has a better position like that. And so but those that are opposed to our attachments, and then anything that comes up that reconciles our attachments seemingly in line with devotional service by showing you don't need to follow that, or it's fanatic, or we're being practical, or, you know, whatever is the method you're using, then the mind accepts it because that's what it wants. But it's not that it's logical. You know, it's because of that. And even if you do have an aspect of logic, there's always greater logic. So even one materialist can defeat with logic another materialist. That's why these six schools can go on arguing eternally. Because each one then can defeat the other. They think about what you said long enough until they get something that works for them. And then they all, yeah, right. And then they say that. And then, you know, goes, that's all. So that's why Lord Chaitanya showed that pastime of coming down to the Ganga, and when, you know, all the students would argue with each other, he'd come down and defeat everybody, and then the philosopher used to defeat them, then he would defeat that. So that's the point. Logic can just keep going on by how much intelligence you have, how much you know the mechanics of the logic and the technique and this and that. So it's like unlimited what you can do with it. But it has that unlimited list because it's the Lord. But the whole point is what pleases the Lord is Siddhanta. He is the Jnana and Kriya, but it's the Icha that pleases him, right? So Siddhanta is what pleases him. But he's also all the other 17 aspects of Nyaya that make it work. But it's still, if it's being used for Siddhanta, then that's what's pleasing him, just like all the Jnana and Kriya is working for pleasing him as each in the Icha. Is that...
It's an interesting point, is that logic can be defeated,
yes,
but not the experience.
Yes.
It's our own experience. Whatever logic people use, it's still our experience.
Yes.
Nobody can defeat that.
Yeah, that's why you use examples.
Yeah.
Because examples are what brings out the experience. Right? So then that has a positive element that if I'm accepting the theory of it itself, the principle of it, then when I bring it down into example, then I can get an experience from that. And like you said, because it's the mind that chooses, not the intelligence. And so the mind's going to choose by experience. Right? So that's what samskara is. Depending, if you have pure samskaras, you'll choose pure things. If you have impure, you'll choose impure. So then by giving examples, then it's something that the mind can actually latch onto, and then there's some experience that's there. So that's why then in preaching you speak in examples that work in the field of the person you're talking to. If the examples don't match their field, they can't relate to it. So it's the same as not having given any examples at all.
Yeah.
So that's that's why it's used. But then it's supposed to be brought back up, then you bring near. You know, so then you show is that and well, actually what's that for? So you bring out the metaphysical and other things that, because if there's a difference in approach, I can show through the metaphysical, the common, right? Because that gives the mechanical common is the metaphysics. But the metaphysical common is the bhakti. So then you have to bring it all. So Siddhanta will be back up to the bhakti. You know, so that's why, that's the step. You're taking it from, this is the point, then I give the reasons. You know, which is the logic, then I give the examples, which is the mind. Then I bring it back up to the logic, then I bring it up to the bhakti again. You know, like that. Does that make sense? So that's the what you're doing. Now, in that works nicely. So how you'll make the decision, what will be the determining factor on how you accept it or not, because it's the mind that accepts. So it needs the example for the mind to accept. But it'll depend on one's identity. Right? Because in that, the mind's going to make a decision based on the memory, based on the logic and reasoning, and based on your identity. That's how the mind will make a decision. Right? What's my experience? You know, so that's gained from memory.
Yeah.
Right? Then I'm going to logically deal with that situation and what can be done with it. What does it mean? What can you do? What results? You know, and therefore, you know, what experiences, then I have to have my identity itself because I'm the one that has to use it. Right? You see, if people are strong in their identity, they function well. And when people get doubts about their identity, they can't function well. They can't make decisions.
Yeah.
Right? So identity is there. So the only way to change this whole material cycle is to change the identity. Right, so I can't change the external, the conditioned identity, because the body is what it is, the mind, the intelligence, it's what it is, and it can do what it can do. But what I can change is whether I'm looking at it from the material or spiritual. Right?
Yeah.
For the materialist, okay, from being impious to pious, they can change that. But they can't get out of the material. But for us, then we identify with the spiritual, with the soul. But not just that. That will help for some of the philosophies there. That you have to have that and understand. But I'm the servant of the Lord, and then being servant of the Lord, being free from karma and jnana, it's about His pleasure rather than mine. Right. So when we accept pure devotional service or pure that position as the identity, then you see all the problems of karma and jnana are removed. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the difficulty we were having, is that we're taking the example, and then the experiences that example generates then we're making that the conversation rather than the actual philosophical point that's being discussed.
Right?
And because we identify with the experience, then the confusion comes up is that, no, when you were talking these other things, we're not talking my experience, and so we're not actually discussing what we're talking about.
Yes.
So therefore, all the things, oh, you don't understand, or these kind of things.
Yeah.
You know, that's not what I said. All those kind of examples, because, yes, you are talking about a specific experience that you get from the example, but the example was being used not about your experience, but it was being used about the philosophical point. You're trying to bring it so that it is able to, you know, upadana means, you know, the ingredients. So you're discussing ingredients to use. But upanaya means it's near the siddhanta, not near our experience. You understand?
Yeah.
So there's this point where you're having to try to get close enough to the experience that you can then relate to what's going on and go, but that goes by identity. So that's why when we keep too strong of identity by our experiences, then we can't move beyond that. You know what I'm saying? If I've had a bad experience and I touch on something that gives rise to my remembering or feeling that bad experience, that becomes the discussion, not the philosophy.
Yeah, because people feel threatened by the example because they can relate to it on a personal level. But
yes.
Philosophy, they just drop it immediately, so they can't see the connection there.
Yes, but that's why the logical process is there. So, as we see as before, then the discussions and the weakness. One, you had the weakness that it's being taken that the example is the real discussion.
Yeah.
That's the one side. The other side is that the emphasis on upanaya wasn't so strong. Because
yeah.
I was taking it for granted that people just understand the connection. And but then it was very obvious it's not. So then we're trying to bring it back.
Yeah.
And take it up through that. But then when you take it up through that, it doesn't have any of those problems there. But then like you said, oh, it's just philosophy, so you don't care. So that's the problem. You can't get too far down into the example, otherwise it gets distracted. But if you don't get into the example, then you don't catch it either. So it's kind of like it comes down to, again, then the identity. What is the identity? Do we want to know this? Are we interested in pure devotional service? If that's the main point, then we can progress. But if it's other, if this discussion here, there's other motives, other agenda, you know, like figuring out administrative things or that, like before, you have people come in and they just ask, whatever you're talking about here, you know, heisei. You create them, maintain them, and again wind them up by your energies. And that, okay, so in maintenance, you know, so then in temple management, we have to maintain and all that. So then, yeah, it's gone. Yeah? Okay.
Yeah. There is a connection.
There is a connection. There was that word there, right? Maintain, yeah, you know. Yeah.
There's an interesting phenomenon we've noticed about identity.
Yes.
That somehow people before coming to Krishna consciousness, they have a very strong identity.
Yes.
And it's quite easy for them to change their identity within Krishna consciousness and
yes.
become again strong.
Yes.
You know, identifying as devotees.
Yes, yes.
However, with persons, sometimes, many times, they have weak personal identity in life as
right.
such.
Yeah.
And then to shift to apparently strong identity as a devotee, it's very difficult somehow. So how?
Yeah. It's because we identify with the conditioning. So our limitation is our conditioning. Technically, the soul has no limitation. Right? It means you hear the Shastra when it talks directly about the soul. You know, they're brilliant like the sun, and they're liberated, they're on the transcendental platform, they're unaffected by the material energy. Even though they're 1/10,000 of the tip of the hair, which is, you know, a specific finite, you know, volume, and the material energy is 1/4 of unlimited, still, one light of one candle is greater than, you know, an unlimited amount of darkness. It has more substance. So, therefore, the jiva can't be overcome by the material energy. It's only because they want to be. Therefore, then that happens. It's not that they're in control of it, that Krishna's in control through his energies, but it's only when they show an interest in the secondary as opposed to the primary, then we take up the material. So therefore, that identification with the conditioning. So it's not that they don't have a strong identity. They do. It's just that the identity they have is negative, not positive. You understand? So it's negative. I'm so useless. I'm so this. I'm the guy that, you know, I'm the schlemiel, or worse, I'm the schlemazel, right? Everything happens to me. If it goes wrong, it happens to me. So Murphy's law is that, you know, that I'm the effect of it, you know, is this. So that kind of thing is that it's a strong identity. That's why it doesn't want to give it up, because that's where they identify themselves. So even if you tell them be positive, they can't, because they can't identify with it, because the modes are such. Does that make sense? Yeah. So only by devotional service, then, because you're dealing with pure Shuddha Sattva, then by that association, then you slowly start to come up out of the modes. You know, you see it. It may be imperceptible to the person, but like if you see them and come back after some time, you see that there's a change.
Yeah.
You know, so it's happening. It's changing. Devotional service works. But that is the place where... it's only devotional service. So being encouraged in that, they find what they can do in that. So because of that, that's why then the whole idea is what makes this whole process easier. Because I thought you were going to say they have that identity and then they can't figure themselves out. I thought you were going to take that, the example, is that they have strong identity, then they come into Krishna consciousness, strong identity, then they can't find themselves after some time. So... that's why then Prabhupada talks about the importance of the Vedic culture. Right? So religion then is something that you can find a position in application. Right? It means devotion is the mood that it is there. But now it's expressed through offering a result. Right? I offer a result to Krishna, that's the bhakti, right? Now, then I'm getting that result because of a particular action. And I can perform that particular action because of a particular knowledge and skill. Right? So now with that identity of that knowledge and skill, I can perform the activity that gets the result that I can offer to Krishna. Right? And so then for that whole mechanical process, in other words, all the jnana and kriya aspects, that's what religion is. Religion is what's the inherent nature of things and how they work, so you can use them to get results to offer to Krishna. You understand?
Yeah.
And in seeing that connected to Krishna, it's all complete. So it's not that only the each is devotion, the other two are also. Like that. So that's the meaning of direct and indirect. Direct is the icha, the indirect is the jnana and kriya. Because from the jnana and kriya, you'll get a result. That result will be offered to Krishna. Right? But if I'm chanting, let's say, Hare Krishna, it's directly Krishna. There's no step in between. I'm worshipping the deity. There's nothing in between. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like that. So, you know, but there'll be the paraphernalia, like you're chanting, you know, have your beads, you have your bead bag, you have your counter beads, you have, you know, the etiquette that goes along with it. Those are all the supportive. Does that make sense? So now, there's a tractor tape. So then, these... yes, so that's what the Varnashram system is for. So you can understand, okay, if this result is to be gained for Krishna's pleasure, it's recommended by scripture, then that requires this particular activity. And to do that activity, you have to have this knowledge and skill and position and everything like that. So therefore, is that my position? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so you then identify where you fit into it. Because you're going to make decisions based on identity. And since I don't have a spiritual identity other than I'm servant of Krishna, I have the generic identity. I don't have a specific one. Mm-hmm. So to act, I have to use a specific identity. So I'm using the conditioned nature. Though I, as a soul, don't identify with it, but identify that this is the tools that I have to work with. Just like I'm cooking, I have pots and pans. But I'm not the pots and pans. Right? So then, that's the importance of it. So if we catch that, then it makes it very easy to work and maintain or sustain one's enthusiasm, devotional service. But now, if someone comes into Krishna consciousness, takes it up, the direct activities are all that's being presented. Then 3-4 years, you'll be good. But then after that, as other aspects within your life need to be addressed, you know what I mean? So when there's enthusiasm, you're really fired up about something, you miss eating a meal or taking a bath, you can do it, you're quite enthused. But after a while, you need some regulation and just standard day-to-day stuff. So now, if you don't have varnashram, then what do you have? And since we're so external that we can't accept varnashram, then that, and just as we take it that the activities of devotional service, the direct ones, that is devotional, that's the form of it. So unless you're wearing a dhoti and tilak and this and that, it's not devotional service. We don't catch it. The direct is the devotion that you're doing it in is a devotional service. In the same way as then when we not having except varnashram, which will extend that, then we'll go back to whatever our culture was before. And we won't be able to see the difference. And so because I'm a devotee, therefore I'm doing this, therefore this is devotional service. Mm-hmm. And so then their identity becomes a problem. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the science of this whole thing, is that when we're working on this platform of the soul, is that we have to understand is that since it's personal, you have to be active. That's the nature of the soul. But we're having to be active through a conditioned nature. So then, how's the best way to use that conditioned nature? Just like, okay, we use a kitchen to cook. But what have we learned about cooking in the kitchen that's different from cooking in the kitchen before we became a devotee? Right? The standards of cleanliness, you know, not being, you know, the not having that, you know, desire for eating and eating the whole time while you're going through. And, you know, it's just the standard thing. You're cooking, you take the spoon, you test it, and then you stir it again with the same funky spoon. Like that. I'm amazed how no one dies, but, you know, that's the way it works. You know? So all these stuff, we learn not to do that, but the technique of how you hold a spoon and how you, you know, stir the pot, that doesn't change. So that's the whole thing, is that the Vedic is a lifestyle in goodness, while the modern is one in ignorance with a touch of passion, right? And so the go-getters have a little bit more passion than everyone else. So that's why it's such a thing, because ignorance to goodness, it's exact opposite. Well, you see, those who are coming from passion into goodness, it's actually not so difficult for them. Because they know you have to work, you have to follow rules, authority, tradition. If you don't do that, you do not get results. You may be clever and come up with new ways to apply it, but you're applying standard laws. They understand that, and so if you present logically Krishna consciousness and the cultural aspect, they can accept both the primary aspects and the secondary. It's not a problem for them. You know, it's just the problem will be doing that without attachment to results, without wanting to be recognized. You know, because that's why they're doing, that's the passion. But from ignorance, then it's seemingly the exact opposite of what you're doing. So that's why it'll be more difficult. So understanding what the conditioning is, what it works in, what the field is, the soul is by nature on pure goodness, right? So then it's just a matter of taking that, situating ourselves there and taking that forward to bhakti. But it doesn't mean that we don't address these situations that we're in. So we see is what we're working with, what that does, how to do that, and that what's the situation for that. And so that you situate yourself there. You like to work in an office? Okay. Then you should be working in an office, right? If you're sitting out on the street and, you know, jobs that take you around and get out and about, you won't like it. You want to sit behind a desk. right? Then you'll be comfortable. While someone else, they can't stand sitting behind a desk. They have to be out and about. You know, so they choose what is the... Because the point is it doesn't matter which it is, as long as you're Krishna conscious. So that's the whole thing, is when we bring in this mode of passion, of the prestige of the Varnashram system, that's the only real obstacle to accepting and using Varnashram is the social prestige that goes with it. No one wants to be the Shudra. You know? Absolutely no one wants to be the Shudra. And then on top of that, the Dvijas, they're okay, but you can't have any one of them better than the other. So you kind of make this new blend of Dvija, you know? They have the authority of the Brahmins and whatever Shastra they quote, or, you know, CNN or, you know, Facebook, whatever they quote is supposed to be, you know, accepted like that. They have full influence. When I say it, it should have absolute influence. And I have control of all the money. Perfection, right? You know,
that's
Shudra job. Huh? And they we don't talk about that. But it's all done in a bureaucratic environment, so I have a Shudra job. But we don't talk about that. We're you know.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing, is that no, it's that everyone has their position. If you function in that, you're happy. That's why it's designed like that.
Is it not that position is called Vija Bandhu, not Dvija?
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't want to say Dvija Bandhu because that would be incorrect, you know. You just say Bandhu. They're a friend. And we're a friend of everyone. Everyone's a friend. So, like that.
We say that identity is built from a combination of Icha and Jnana Shakti.
No, also it has to, yeah, I mean, it would be the foundation, because you see, it's the Sambandhi Jnana will be the foundation of it all, because in Sambandhi Jnana you know who you are and the field that you're working in, you know the attitude, you know the process that can be used, you know the results. You wouldn't necessarily look at it in that order. But you would know all those four. That would be called Sambandha Jnana. So that's all within the Jnana Shakti. But now you have to apply that in the practical application, that's the Kriya. Mm-hmm. That I've made a plan, it's still Sambandha.
Right.
So many times we thought, oh, we're discussing how to get it done, so this is Abhideya. No, this is still Sambandha. When you're applying it, that's Abhideya.
Yeah.
Right? That's the point in Niti, is that if, having made a plan, now you actually feel it's finished, you're a fool. Because you find that's a very common thing, is people have meetings, and because they came up with a great plan, they think it's done. And nobody does it. And since nobody does it, they have another meeting to discuss that. And that way they just go on and on and on. Is that, yeah. So it actually has to come into Abhideya. So the Kriya is actually the running application of that. In other words, there's the form that is the basis, and then there's the form that is what can do. It's not that the form can't be in a static position, right? But it has the potential to do, while the other one is the basis of it. So they're overlapping. And then there's what pleasure can be gained from that. So one object can have all three aspects. Right? So that's the whole point, is that you have the Dham. Its basis is the Sat. But the position of it and all those and what everything there is the Chit. But what it can, its potential is it can produce that Ananda for Krishna. So that's why it gets confusing that it's all one. That's why Sarup Shakti is one thing, but it has all these divisions. Does that make sense? It means which aspect you're bringing out, then you use that terminology. But it's all Sarup Shakti. So Sarup Shakti is doing everything. But it's just which aspect. That's why it sometimes becomes confusing. What's there? So the Chit aspect is the predominant. Because the existence is there and it's the background. But you see the action and see the result. So therefore, the Swarup Shakti also will be called the Chit Shakti. Right? Does that make sense? You generally don't refer so much on that aspect of just the Sandini aspect, or the eternity aspect. But it's there, it's mentioned, there's existence, and, you know, Krishna is existence. So that's what you're dealing with. And so these three aspects, those are there in everything. And they have, depending upon the angle, then they have their different names, different flavors and that. But everything's three. That's why Krishna is the Lord of threes. Because it always has those aspects. So, yeah.
Maharaj, so here, this is one of the aspects where most of the times it becomes difficult for us to understand about the jiva also.
Right.
Because the jiva also, then, just like it says that, how can Brahman be undergoing various changes that is unbeneficial to the soul?
Hmm.
Similarly, people get stuck up with how jiva can fall and other.
Oh, how he can fall, or how he conditioned, how does God let this happen?
And then from here, from understanding.
It's all everybody else's fault, I'm just so fabulous.
So it's very nice, like when we understand about Lord and the Shakti, then we can understand also how the jiva, where exactly can be.
Yes. That's why it's said that self realization is accomplished by knowing Krishna. Right. So it's, you want to see yourself in the mirror. The mirror is like the mind, but you can't unless the sun's up, right? So even at Namabhas, when it's just the light of the sun, though the sun hasn't arisen, you can still see. So the position of Namabhas is quite glorious. That's why, you know, but it seems that it's not such a great position. That was Gopal Chapala? Then he had that problem, is how can Namabhas create liberation? Because he doesn't understand his liberation is not so important. But the pure name, that will create prema. That's substance. Liberation, that's just the natural position of the soul. So there's a difference. Yeah. No, all these things, yes. All everything comes up from this. These are the core points, but just discussing it on this platform, we see is that it doesn't, this discussion that we've had now doesn't have an emotional content. Mm-hmm. And, it means if you can focus on it, then you can see clearly, you can just function in this very nicely. This is that transcendental position. Mm-hmm. We don't have transcendental taste, so it doesn't bring about transcendental emotion and all those transformations. Mm-hmm. But the point is it is the transcendental position. Right? And then from there, if one can then see that, then you address the position I'm in and how to engage my conditioning. Then from there, if you then look at the position, take it down into the example, but from that transcendental position, then you can see nicely. But if we take it the other way and we identify down, then this is all theory and it comes down to the example. So that's reality. And now the discussion becomes the example. And then about me and my identity and what's this and that. And then becomes the whole thing, because then it's my identity, your identity, others' identity, and then how it all mixes. But that's not the point. It's about that top point. You don't have a problem. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is you don't have any attachment to what you're doing, but you can deal with it. You can deal with it very intelligently. But then what we're so used to dealing with it from the mind, from attachment, that we think this doesn't have substance. This platform does not have substance. But we can see, this is where substance starts. The other one is a reflection of real substance. Right? Right? So in other words, you have the reality, and then you have the material, which just is a burning fire of material existence. It's just trouble, everything about it. And everything eventually turns into trouble. But if you see it from this transcendental position, then all these tools that you can use from the culture and the whole process of Vaidhi Bhakti, then can be applied into my position, and I can be engaged according to my nature in a situation I'm comfortable with. But I'm doing it without attachment. So that's the whole point, is without attachment, you can be situated nicely. You can have unlimited facility, like Yudhishthira Maharaj, if you're unattached. Because he just says, we're Kshatriyas, we're good Kshatriyas, we can be emperors of the world, no one else is having that ability. It's necessary, so this is what service we can do. So they situate themselves there. And then if push comes to shove, then, okay, you want to be the emperor? Great. Just give us 5 villages. We'll each manage that village, and this way we'll be able to perform our Kshatriya duties. But because Duryodhana is irreligious, he won't give them those villages. Otherwise, why wouldn't he give them 5? They're all, the problem solved. They get 5 villages, and they're done. And Yudhishthira will stick to that. Right? Because Yudhishthira's there. Bhima wouldn't. Right? But the point is Yudhishthira is. So his problem's solved. But he's too attached. He's too much false ego, too much ignorance. So therefore, irreligion becomes the main direction. So even though you see he's so good and pious in that way, in knowledge and that, but you see is what's the purpose of it? So he's going down. He's on the samsara, very high up at the top, but going, towards irreligion. Does that make sense? That's so. Does that make sense? Do you all catch this? So you have this point of this transcendental position. If this is what we're trying to appreciate, then we apply the example, we can apply that into our life. Then it's a matter of, okay, how am I using this in connection with Krishna here, rather than it's my identity and me and this and that and my feelings and experience. You understand, it's very different discussions. Right? So, since the 9 cantos are to bring one to this transcendental position, we should let go of the other one. It's not that we're losing our position or anything. We just don't have to function in that because of attachment. We can function in that because of intelligence. And we'll get all the experiences and everything we're looking for and more. Because ignorance is not a good medium for things shining through. Like if I have a candle and I put some black glass in front of it, then how much light comes through? No, but if I put a yellow glass in front of it, very nice light. Does that make sense?
Even like in the Panchanga, we see that we have the Pratigna, we begin with the statement from the beginning. Then we come with the hatred and Udharam. Examples are to our level, but then again we turn back, we go up. Say,
yes.
Upanaya Siddhanta.
Yes, that's the whole idea. Mm-hmm. Is that you're taking the point, coming down, making it practical, and then bringing it back up to the point again. Mm-hmm. So we've seen is that, in the past, now it's less, but I remember those when we were doing the Shastra Chakshus. Sometimes these points in Varnashram would be a two week distraction. We'd just get into that for weeks. Like that. Because we get down to the example, and then because there's so many things to have that faith, that how those all connect to Krishna. And so that's nice, because then you're getting it as long as we can take it back up again. But now it's supposed to be that we've seen that, and now it's about the pure devotional service, though we are not on that platform, but we want to be. We've committed to that. We understand the scripture. We have the faith. So therefore, then we drop how much is necessary to catch the point. So it's not about arguing those things anymore. Does that make sense? That's what's the difference in the position we're at now. And we see it's actually very practical and actually more tasty. The other one is that the modes of passion and that they have its own taste, but it's also it's a disturbance. It creates too much fire in the mind and heart and everything like that. Does that make sense? Yes, no? It's a practical thing. We may not have the taste for it, but we can see it was there. Means when we were discussing it, did we not experience that?
Yes.
Right? That's the platform we're talking about. So that's why you go through in that. So, in other words, one may ask, well, what do you know? How many shlokas and this and that? That's not the point. Did you get to this? Did you experience this? Because once now you know it's there. Now, that's the neutral point. Then prema's then beyond that. That's the positive beyond that, because we can see is below this. There's no taste. It really doesn't have. It's what we're engaged in and all, but it doesn't have the taste. Does that make sense? So we see that demarcation between the two. Mm-hmm. So Bhagavatam, that's what it opens with. That real truth is understanding the difference between matter and spirit. So this is truth. Then beyond truth, there's prema. Right? So truth, you know, being liberated, being transcended, these are all just things that, that's this platform. Then you're supposed to go beyond that to prema. So if this is good, how much better is that? Right? Does that make sense? So that's the idea.
Like 10 cantos of pure devotional service. But there are other books for that. So you go to the other books. So
other books for pure devotional service?
For other things like
Yes, Aparavidya. Yes.
So that is for that. So when 10 cantos will, is that the audience should be discussing pure devotional service. So you don't bring that other book.
No, you only bring it in if it's context, how to engage it in pure devotional service. So the point is Bhagavatam is showing how to connect all the Aparavidya to Krishna. But the focus is on Krishna so that you understand Krishna and what is pure devotional service and what's not. That's there. So you only have to give that much. If need be, you can take it more, but it's, so you see sometimes in the example, discussions go into more detail.
Lighting the house.
Yes, but it's just a matter of to appreciate the situation. That's all. So you can appreciate then the activities they do and how they're pleasing Krishna in pure devotion. So, okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Krishna ki.